The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "To you who hear, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. To the person who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other one as well. And from the person who takes your cloak, do not withhold even your tunic. Give to everyone who asks of you. And from the one who takes what is yours, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. For if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do the same. If you lend money to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners and get back the same amount. But rather, love your enemies and do good to them, and lend expecting nothing back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. For he himself is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Stop judging, and you will not be judged. Stop condemning, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and gifts will be given to you. A good measure, packed together, shaken down, and overflowing, will be poured into your lap. For the measure with which you measure will in return be measured out to you." The Gospel of the Lord.
May the words of the Gospel purify our hearts. 7 years ago, when I was here with Brother Chris and Brother Alan, I gave a homily on the ABCs of mercy. I don't know if any of you remember me, or if any of you remember them, or if any of you remember the ABCs of mercy. And so I'm going to beat it into you again. Because the truth of the matter is, every single reading set for the Sundays throughout the year always talk about God's mercy. And it focuses on how we should respond to God's mercy. The simple principle of the ABCs of mercy refer to A, ask. Ask and you shall receive. And very often on the Sunday Gospel, we hear people coming up to Jesus and asking him to heal them of physical maladies. Give sight to the blind, loosen the tongue of the dumb, open the ears of those that can't hear, strengthen the legs of the paralyzed. And always Jesus does this very quickly, very willingly. And he always adds, and your sins are forgiven. And it was precisely that he forgave sins that upset some people, because only God can forgive sins. But that was because Jesus knew clearly that he was God. Jesus understood clearly that in his human nature, he had taken on our weakness, but in his divinity, he remained the eternal creator, the sanctifier. And he was still very much desirous for our holiness and sanctification. When he healed people, he always said, "Your faith has healed you." Why? Because he wants us to understand that if we trust in him fully, God can accomplish great things in us. But if we trust him only a little, he can only accomplish very little. And we hear that in the Gospels often. Because of their lack of faith, he could not perform any great miracles. Because of their faith, he was even able to raise the dead to life. What does God do in our lives? He responds to those things that we ask for. But do we ask for everything necessary for our salvation? Or are we only very short-sighted and ask for something immediate just to make it to the next moment? We should ask God for the big things that will transform us into the saints that he called us to be at baptism. When you and I were baptized into the life, death, and resurrection of Christ, he made us brothers and sisters of God. And as God, he calls you and I to make intercession along with him for everyone else. Ask, and you shall receive. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Be, the second principle, be merciful. Blessed are the merciful, they shall obtain mercy. Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. I could choose many other passages. I could even point to today's first reading. Saul was pursuing David. Saul was jealous of David's popularity. Saul wanted to kill David. And why was he doing it? He was doing it with 3,000 armed soldiers. You talk about a dog going after a flea. You talk about overkill. 3,000 soldiers he had with him, going after merely David and a companion. So it is David whose prayer is heard. Saul and his henchmen fall into a deep sleep. So profound a sleep that David is able not only to sneak into the camp, but to find even Saul sound asleep. And it is suggested to David, "Let me pierce him through with his own spear. Let me put to death your enemy." And David's response is no. David's response is to be merciful. David's response is to love his enemy. Because if he were to kill Saul at this point, Saul's eternal salvation would be very doubtful. David wants for his enemy what he wants for himself, eternal salvation. He wants Saul to be converted. He wants Saul to realize that he's not his enemy. David, in one of the more extraordinary moments of his life, takes the spear and his water jug and sneaks back to the other side of the mountain. And there he presents the spear and the water jug and says, "Send one of your servants over. Send somebody insignificant over here to grab your spear and your water jug so that you will clearly know that I could have done what you fear me to want to do." See, Saul feared that David was going to overcome him. David wanted Saul to understand clearly that that was not his desire. Saul and David shortly thereafter are reconciled. David eventually marries Saul's daughter and in fact inherits Saul's throne. When you and I love our enemies. They are no longer our enemies. They become our boon companions. And more importantly, we advance them in holiness, and we advance ourselves even more so in holiness. St. Paul tells his followers, pray for your enemies. Jesus said to Faustina, pray for those who persecute you, and don't refrain from loving them. St. Faustina went even further and said, help me, Lord, to give my heart to even those who will abuse me. It's one of the prayers that we'll talk about tomorrow evening. It's the prayer found in her diary at paragraph 163. Help me, Lord, to be merciful. It's one of my favorite prayers out of over 100 prayers in the diary. You and I are called to be merciful as Christ is merciful, as God, our Heavenly Father, is merciful. Sometimes we might think to ourselves, why does God give that person another breath? If they were to die, the world would be a better place. And maybe the world would be a better place without certain people. But until they come to conversion, until they come to salvation in Christ Jesus, it is your responsibility and mine to encourage them to grow in holiness and to pray for their eternal salvation. Blessed are the merciful, they shall obtain mercy. Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. And finally, see complete trust, complete confidence in God's providential care for us. St. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, chapter 4, says that Abraham is our father in faith because he believed beyond reason. A man old enough to practically be dead on so many levels, with a wife nearly as ancient as himself. And yet he received the promise that he would have descendants more numerous than the stars in the sky or the grains of sand on the seashore. Sarah laughed because she didn't even think that it was possible. But Abraham believed, and God made manifest the fulfillment of his promise. Some early church mystics have said that Sarah gave birth as easily as did the Blessed Virgin Mary, because Isaac, born of Sarah, was the fulfillment of a holy promise of God, just as Christ was the fulfillment of the promise of God. Christ was born of the Virgin Mary as light passes through a window. Isaac was born of Sarah as the fulfillment of that promise, a light in the darkness. And he became, so to speak, the source of Abraham's descendants. Sometimes it becomes very difficult for us to believe. Sometimes it becomes impossible for us to believe. And it's then that we go back to the beginning and ask for the grace to believe. We ask for all the virtues necessary to become the saints that God intended us to be at baptism. Every Sunday, we hear one of the three basic principles, sometimes two of them, and occasionally all three. In today's readings, we hear very clearly the call to be merciful. And the call to be merciful is for something very specific, so that by being merciful, we might be holy as God is holy. We might be perfected in his love as he has love perfected itself. That we might give glory with God, that we might be God's glory in eternity. The Divine Mercy message is not something distant remote, difficult, or complex. It is as simple as love itself. And I certainly hope that many of you will avail yourself of the opportunity. If you can't come all three nights, come to whichever night you can come. And I'm sure that God will give you another insight into your progress in holiness as you venture forward in faith. One of the things that I very specifically want to talk about is mortification, because we're getting close to Lent. And people always hear that and they think, uh-oh, he's going to tell us to give up chocolate or ice cream. Do I really look like the person that's going to tell you to give up chocolate and ice cream? Oh, silly people, you have mistaken me again. No, I'm going to tell you to give up your own willful nature. I'm going to tell you to accept the crosses that God sends you. Don't look for mortification. Accept the mortifications that present themselves to you. Many of you are blessed in holy matrimony. If that's not a mortification, I don't know what is. And if, in fact, your spouse isn't transforming you into a saint, in God's infinite love, he sends you children. You know, sometimes people say, come up to me after Mass, and they say, oh, I'm so sorry, Father, the baby was screaming, I don't know, I can't seem to be able to control her sometimes. And I say, oh, don't worry. I'm sitting up there at the altar thinking to myself, thank you, Jesus, for the gift of celibacy. But don't think that my life's all peaches and cream, because every one of us has a unique cross and a unique way in which we will give glory to God in eternity. And our lives are just as glorious in the eyes of God as the eyes of his greatest saints. God might not call us to be a canonized saint in the church, but God does call each and every one of us to give him thanks and praise and glory by living our lives in holy obedience to the Father's will, just as he did. And it doesn't end at the cross. It ends at the resurrection. It doesn't end in his suffering. It ends in his glorification and ascension to the right hand of the Father. And the same is true for us. We pass through suffering, but we go beyond suffering to great joy. One of the things that we're going to do at the end of the Mass today is give a blessing to any couples that were married and celebrating their marriages, having been married in February. And I always think February is kind of a romantic month, you know, Valentine's Day and all that stuff. But in truth, romance is what God calls us to love him perfectly, first of all, and to love the people that he places in our lives. I hope to see some of you Monday, Tuesday, and or Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. And if you're worried about getting a babysitter, I'm guessing it'll be about an hour and 17 minutes. I used to say an hour and 10 minutes, but I'm getting older and I'm getting a little bit slower. And I want to get all the points covered. Let's stand and continue with the profession part.
I believe in God.